Okay, so have you ever noticed how something that seems really simple, like transferring property,
Right.
can actually turn out to be like a legal minefield?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, that's kind of what we're going to dig into today with this case from the South Carolina Supreme Court,
Yep.
Leasing Enterprises versus Livingston.
All right, sounds good.
All right, so this case basically boils down to like some core principles of property law and creditors' rights. And we've got some awesome sources to like break it all down.
Yeah.
We've got some guidance on the case, a super helpful case brief that like summarizes the facts and the court's reasoning and the
Yeah.
actual legal brief too, highlighting like the key parts of the court's decision and like their exact wording.
Yeah, that's great.
So our goal today is to kind of like, take all this legal stuff
Right.
and make it easy to understand for you guys
Yeah.
without, getting lost in the weeds. So
Exactly.
think of this as like your go-to guide to like understanding this precedent. All right, so let's start with the basics, like what even led to this legal battle in the first place?
Okay, so this whole thing starts back in 1980
Okay.
with a company from California called Leasing Enterprises.
All right.
And they leased a forklift to this guy named Joe Livingston.
Okay.
But Livingston ended up defaulting on the lease agreement.
Ah, so like he didn't make his payments or something.
Exactly.
Okay.
So Leasing Enterprises went ahead and got a default judgment against him in California.
Okay. So remind me, what exactly is a default judgment?
Well, it's basically what happens when, like, one party in a lawsuit, they don't respond or they don't show up in court.
Okay.
And this happened in November 1981.
Gotcha. So they get the debt established in California. But
Right.
how does this connect to property all the way in South Carolina?
Well, Leasing Enterprises later found out that Livingston actually owned a half interest in some property in South Carolina,
Okay.
in Oconee County, to be exact.
Right.
And this property was co-owned with his mother, Margaret Schley.
Gotcha. So he and his mom owned it together.
Yep. And here's where things start to get really interesting.
Okay.
In April 1983, a quitclaim deed shows up,
Okay.
and it's officially recorded in South Carolina.
Okay.
Now, this deed said that Livingston actually transferred his ownership to his mother back in October 1977.
Wow. So like way before.
Yeah, and the reason they gave for this transfer,
Yeah, what was it?
just plain old love and
Love
affection.
and affection.
Yep.
Hold on a second. So 1977,
Right.
that's like even before Livingston got into that lease agreement with Leasing Enterprises in 1980.
Exactly.
So it seems like this transfer happened before the debt even existed. So what was Leasing's argument then? It kind of seems like they're going after a debt that came about after the property was transferred.
Yeah, so that's kind of the heart of the issue.
Okay.
Leasing argued that even though this deed was recorded in 83 and it said it was signed in 77,
Right.
the timing of everything and the fact that he transferred it to his mom
Yeah.
and that he didn't get any money for
Right.
it all seemed like a fraudulent conveyance.
Okay, so what does fraudulent conveyance mean in this case?
Basically, they were saying it was a sneaky way for Livingston to protect his assets, that half of the property,
Right.
from being used to pay off his debt.
Gotcha.
So to actually enforce the California judgment in South Carolina, Leasing Enterprises went through a process called domestication.
Okay, so like translating the judgment from California to South Carolina.
Exactly.
Okay.
So think of domestication as like making a judgment from one state
Yeah.
legal and enforceable in another state.
Okay, makes sense.
So they did that in 1984, and then they went after Livingston's interest in that South Carolina property.
All right, so let me get this timeline straight.
Sure.
We have the alleged property transfer in 77,
Right.
then the forklift lease in 80,
Yep.
the California judgment against Livingston in 81,
Back.
the deed getting recorded in South Carolina in 83,
Right.
and finally, Leasing domesticating that judgment in South Carolina in 84. Wow, that's a lot to keep track of, but it sounds like the timing of that recording in 83 is super important.
Yeah, definitely.
So what were like the main legal questions that the South Carolina Supreme Court had to figure out in this case?
So there were two big questions.
Yeah.
First, like, Leasing argued, was this property transfer from Livingston to his mom? Was it a fraudulent conveyance?
Okay.
Was it done just to keep his creditors, like, leasing from getting their hands on his assets?
Gotcha.
And the second question, which really decided the whole case,
Okay.
was whether the quitclaim deed itself was even legal and valid for recording under South Carolina law.
Yeah.
And this all came down to one tiny detail.
What was that?
The deed only had one witness signature.
Really? Just one witness. Is that like a big deal?
Yeah. It is, actually.
I mean, it was recorded, right? So doesn't that make it official?
Well, that brings us to South Carolina's race notice recording system.
Okay, what's that all about?
Basically, think of it like a race to the courthouse. Whoever records their interest in a property first,
yeah,
they usually get priority over anyone else who comes later.
Okay, that makes sense.
But the catch.
What's the catch?
The document that you're trying to record.
Right.
It has to meet certain legal requirements to even be considered in that race.
So, like, it has to be legally sound from the start.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's not just about getting to the recording office first.
Yep.
All right, so let's get to, like, the main event, the Supreme Court's decision.
Okay.
What did they say about all of this?
So they came out with two main holdings.
Okay.
For the fraudulent conveyance argument, they actually agreed with what the lower court decided.
Okay.
They said, yeah, transferring property to a family member, especially with no money exchanged.
Yeah.
Especially when he's having money problems.
Right.
It definitely raises some red flags.
Yeah. I'd be suspicious too.
But ultimately, the court's decision hinged on the second issue.
Okay.
That technical problem with the deed.
Yeah. The single witness thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that still feels like a small mistake, you know?
Yeah. But the court didn't see it that way.
So tell me why they thought it was so important.
Well, there's this part of South Carolina law, section 30-530.
Okay.
And it says straight up.
Yeah.
A deed needs to be signed by at least two witnesses.
Okay.
And they have to be there when it's signed.
So they're saying it's not just some formality.
Right.
It's a legal requirement.
Exactly. It's there to guarantee that property transfers are authentic and reliable for the public record.
Okay, that makes sense.
So in this case, the deed from Livingston to his mom, Margaret Schley.
Yeah.
It only had one signature from a witness.
Just the one?
Yep.
But what about the notary?
Okay.
It was notarized, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that do the same thing as having two witnesses?
That's a good question, and it's a common misunderstanding.
Okay.
The court actually addressed this directly.
Okay, what did they say?
They said that notary acknowledgments are not the same as having two witnesses.
Okay.
So the notary's job is mainly to check the identity of the person signing.
Right.
And to make sure they're signing willingly.
Makes sense. Yeah.
But witnesses serve a different purpose.
Okay.
They're there to confirm that the person actually signed the deed.
Gotcha. So it's like two different levels of verification.
Exactly.
Okay. So since Livingston's deed only had one witness.
Right.
The court decided that the deed was like.
Well, they called it facially defective.
Facially defective.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It means because it didn't meet the requirement of having two witnesses.
Okay.
The deed wasn't eligible to be recorded in Oconee County.
So even though they put it in the public records, it wasn't considered properly recorded.
Exactly.
Wow. So how did that affect things between Schley and Leasing Enterprises?
Well, the Supreme Court said that the deed basically didn't count when it came to figuring out who had the stronger claim to the property.
Huh.
Margaret Schley might have recorded the deed first.
Yeah, back in 83.
Right. Because it wasn't done correctly. Mm. It didn't give her priority over Leasing Enterprises, who came in later and recorded their domesticated judgment.
Wow. So even though she was first to record, it didn't matter because that one missing witness.
That's right.
That's crazy.
The court basically said that the deed wasn't entitled to be recorded, so it couldn't be used to get priority.
It's kind of amazing how something that seems so small, like the number of witnesses on a deed,
right,
can have such a huge impact on a legal case.
It definitely highlights some important points.
Okay, but what?
Well, first off, it shows how important it is to be super precise when you're dealing with real estate documents. Mm. Like, you have to follow all the state-specific rules perfectly.
Like having two witnesses in South Carolina.
Exactly, because if you don't, the whole transfer could be messed up.
Wow.
And then someone else could come in with a later claim and they could actually win.
Okay, so what about people like Leasing Enterprises? What's the lesson here for creditors?
Well, for creditors who are trying to collect debts.
Yeah.
It shows how important it is to do your homework. You can't just look at the date a deed was recorded.
Right.
You have to actually dig in and check if everything's legal and valid,
sure,
make sure it follows all the rules.
Yeah.
So like in this case, even though Schley recorded first.
Right.
It wasn't valid because of the witness issue.
Exactly.
And that gave Leasing the upper hand.
Yep.
And it's also interesting how the court was suspicious of that transfer between Livingston and his mom.
Yeah.
You know, with no money involved and just love and affection.
Right.
That definitely raised some eyebrows, even if it wasn't the main reason they ruled against Schley.
Yeah. It definitely adds to the overall picture.
It seems like the legal system is always trying to find a balance between what's fair in a situation,
right,
and sticking to the rules.
It's a tricky balance.
For sure. So in this case, even though you might feel bad for Schley, the court had to enforce the rules.
They did.
Because if they didn't, then the whole system of property ownership would be a mess.
Exactly.
All right, so let's wrap this up with the key takeaways from this case. Okay, so first, having two witnesses sign a deed isn't just some random rule in South Carolina.
Okay.
It's super important for making sure the deed is legal and can be recorded properly.
Gotcha. So don't forget those witnesses.
Definitely not.
All right, what else?
Always double check that a deed is done right
according
to the laws of that state.
Yeah, okay.
That way you can be sure that your property rights are protected.
Mm-hmm. Especially if creditors or other people might come knocking.
Exactly.
All right, so last takeaway.
This case really shows how important it is to pay attention to the small details.
Yeah.
Even something that seems like a minor procedural rule can actually determine who wins or loses in a legal battle.
And like the court said, those who record first are usually protected.
Yeah.
But only if the earlier documents were recorded correctly in the first place.
Right.
All right. So this is a case that proves you really can't judge a book by its cover.
That's for sure.
You got to look beyond the surface and pay attention to those details.
Absolutely.
So think about this. How often do little procedural things in legal documents actually decide who wins or loses in big legal fights?
Interesting.
This case shows how important it is for anyone in the legal field, especially those dealing with property and creditor rights, to really understand and follow every single rule.
Yeah.
You can't afford to miss anything.
Yeah.
So maybe go and look up the specific recording rules in different states and see how those seemingly tiny details can change everything.
Sounds like a good idea.
All right, that's it for today. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everyone.